It's recording again.
Recording.
Oh, that was really good.
Thank you. I'm really proud of myself.
You should be.
It's a good noise. Okay. Oh, what was I talking about? Good morrow, adventurers, and welcome to our podcast. So our show discusses all things Dungeons and Dragons and other fantasy genres. We are your co-hosts, Mandy and Katie. And tonight we're discussing our biggest mistakes as D&D players, their consequences, and how we dealt with them. Now, for those in the audience that are listening, I didn't say mistakes weirdly on accident. I legitimately put it in quotation marks because I like to frame them as character choices. Is this because it makes me feel better? Probably. But also because I think it contributes to just the favorite part of D&D, which is the story. We don't need to assign a moral value to them. And I'm not saying this because I've made some pretty big ones. So I'll go first because annoyingly, I honestly can't think of one Caitlin has made. Yes. And it's the worst.
And yours is like, I can't think of anything else besides the specific one.
I know it's a doozy. I've made others, but it's a real doozy.
It's a doozy.
So I'm going to set the stage. Picture this, friends. My character, beautiful wood elven princess and rogue. We had just won a giant battle. Mm-hmm. It was great. We were on a ship called the Soaring Dragon. Highly recommend it. And Ariadne is captured by the drow and is suddenly on her way to be turned over to her legitimately psychotic boyfriend on a pirate island that we were trying to get to anyway. So yay her. She fell victim to the spell Dominate Person, which, by the way, if your DM ever texts you in the middle of the week before you play and is like, hey, make a wisdom saving throw, ruins your whole week.
It does.
I rolled a 2.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know you rolled that low.
So I knew it was bad.
Oh boy.
So she has Dominate Person. She gets dominated, right? She doesn't even have, they don't even have to fight to take her off the ship. She just walks off.
Yeah. You literally just disappeared. And we're like,
I was just gone. So cut to being interrogated. I'm being snarky and the usual Ariadne thing. Mm-hmm. And I had a really cool item that our DM homebrewed for me, which was my armor. That was a drow armor. And it helped me learn the super top secret language, drow hand sign. Yeah, yeah. So a lot of you know where this is going, but I'm going to finish it for those of you who haven't gotten there yet. So in the middle of being interrogated, one of the other drow realizes, I think he put together that I was watching or something. Mm-hmm. That I could understand drow hand sign. And he point blank asks me, do you understand what I'm saying? Or something like that.
Yeah, he did.
And what did I do? Did I make the obvious choice and play dumb? No. Suddenly I'm having an out of body experience. The whole room is like moving slow.
Oh no.
And I nod. And then, not surprising to anybody in the world, I am summarily stabbed with purple worm poison and thrown over the side of the ship.
Yes.
Tied up with a negative strength mod, by the way. So the DM was like, hey, yeah, you can try to swim and survive because you're near shore. Failed every single check. And then I drowned.
Yep. So, unceremoniously.
Yeah, just gone. Luckily, the DM felt sorry for me and let me get resurrected rather quickly. I don't think he expected me to make that choice because nobody would have.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
Really. And I maintain I didn't actually make the choice. Something happened. I don't know what.
Ariadne came out and like controlled your body.
I guess I have no idea what happened. But it had some pretty interesting consequences, honestly, that I thought, on looking back, made a really cool storyline.
Mm-hmm, it really did.
At least to me. So, because I know everybody's just wrapped with interest about what the consequences were. I became a hollow one, which basically how we interpret it in game was I was missing part of my soul that my God that I followed had to like rip the soul out of Kelimbor's hands when he was coming to collect it. And a piece of it got left in Kelimbor's.
Oh, that's right.
Realm. Then in order to get it back, I had to go through a religious ceremony where I died
again.
Again. and had to argue for my soul in front of Kellenbor. But I argued successfully.
You did.
By the skin of my teeth. I had some pretty good persuasion rolls and was sent back to Faerun. Ariadne's raven black hair forever has a pure white streak, mm-hmm. and one of her eyes that were green turned like a white blue. And in my head, she definitely still has nightmares about this whole experience. Like,
oh, that makes sense.
You know, like,
would you do this again?
Knowing I'd get the same outcome?
Yes and no.
If I knew I would have the same outcome, yes, because I think it made a really, really cool story.
I think so too.
D&D is all about taking risks and mm-hmm. like having a good risk appetite, right?
Yeah.
And I am probably Chris laughs because I'm probably one of the more cautious players where I'm like, nope, I'm saving my spell slots because I don't believe this is the end of combat. I think there's something else coming because I don't trust you ever.
He has mentioned that the last couple of times.
Yep.
She has all her spell slots.
Yep, I do because I don't trust you. But it made a really, really interesting storyline that I thought was just really cool. That also mm-hmm. provided an avenue for Chris and I to, because that's also how Ariadne changed classes. Because she came back and she lost her magic.
Oh, that's when she changed. I felt like it happened really early on. Was it that early?
It didn't. No, I think she was like halfway to Arcane Trickster, like half of the campaign she was an Arcane Trickster. Oh. And I just sucked at it. And then I did. It's fine. I wasn't utilizing like 50% of that class's utility. I think I would do it again if I knew we would have the same story. Because I was really, really proud and still am of the story that we all told together. Same. And that I think it led to some really cool moments for Ariadne and Adrina. Because at that point, there were still a little bit
tension,
grinding.
Yeah.
But then when you realized she was dead.
Yeah, that was big. There was still some unresolved emotions and feelings and things that we hadn't gotten through. But then when you died, I was like, oh, there's something about a character death that you're not expecting. It's just like it all just came to a head for me at that moment. And I was like, oh, geez, like, how does Adrina feel about Ariadne? Like, it was intense. Yeah. And it provided me the opportunity as Adrina to build upon her emotions and feelings about that and like the anger and the sadness and all of that and be like, you know what, was a good building opportunity for really everyone. I mean, you, because, you know, you died, but but all of us were able to feel how we felt about you.
I think part of it, honestly, thinking back, I got so in my head
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to make sure I was making the right decision and I just freaked out.
That makes sense.
And just didn't know what to do. And then my brain just was like, okay, we'll do it. And I lost all control. I got really, really flustered. Honestly, I think that's where it came from. But mm-hmm. so if anything, I learned like, it's just a game. But yes. I still get very attached to my characters. And I still, for me, like Feyre, Ariadne, Maeve, they are their own people mm-hmm. doing their own stuff
yep.
forever. So that's probably my biggest mistake. I think it had a really fun impact on the story. I think it gave our DM like a lot of room for creativity and a way to like move forward.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of cool stuff happened and we got introduced to some really cool characters, like really cool NPCs through that. And it was interesting for me to see how everybody's characters reacted. So Katie, it's your turn. I couldn't think of one. I thought of like things that you have blonde moments on, but everybody has those.
Yeah. Right? See, that's exactly at first when I started thinking, I was like, oh my gosh, like a really big, because I immediately thought of yours.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good one.
It's a good one. It's a doozy. And I started thinking like, I've had a lot of role-playing moments where I made choices that didn't like pan out or I rolled really low. And it always usually seems to be like charisma rolls. I just like bomb them and I'm like bleh.
It's so funny to me because you lean really heavy into like fighter or like classes that aren't charisma but you so badly want to be the person doing it. It just makes me laugh.
Oh gosh,
what you doing?
And it just bombs. Oh, I need to like change my mindset with like, instead of trying to be like charismatic, just like intimidating. Maybe I can do that better. But Chris always says I'm about as intimidating as a box of kittens, which I think can be very intimidating. They're sharp little pointy teeth and claws, and they can be very charismatically
helping.
Cute.
You're not helping anything.
I know. But I did think, and I thought this was like ironic that this is the subject for tonight, that our last gameplay, probably that I can at least remember, is the biggest like mistake that I've made as a character. In our last session, I guess I'll back up a little bit. One of our characters died a couple weeks ago. See, there it is.
Took me a minute.
And so he died. And that's been a big thing where we've had to decide as a team, like, okay, are we going to resurrect him? Or are we going to not? And that in and of itself was the whole little thing. But so we finally made the decision to resurrect Cyrus. And so part of what we had to do is... someone gave us a little quest to infiltrate to infiltrate this tavern of vampires, led by an evil Duke vampire.
Does he have like a Nosferatu?
Thank you. Yes, he was a Nosferatu. No, wow, Nosferatu.
That was a good one,
John. Just
no, keep it in. Keep it in.
Obviously, there's some things that are going to help out, right? Like sunlight. Potentially holy water, things like that. And also, you know, just killing, hacking, slashing, all that. So what happens is, I'll tell you what happened and I'll tell you what I thought of in the moment, right? Kind of like you're out of moment body
experience. Yeah, no, we all have them, except for John, I bet. He seems always in control and
he does.
Love and hate him at the same time.
Yes, it's infuriating, like, but endearing, kind of. So what happens is
it's rude.
We go there. We're fighting. Obviously, at some point, the Nosferatu does this disgusting, like vomit blood spray. He got sprayed twice, I think, right?
Yeah, which is a big deal for Feyre. Number one, she was down to 6 hit points and she couldn't get healed.
Yes, because that's what happened from it. That if he did this to you and you didn't pass the saving throw, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That and you couldn't even get healed. Worse for Feyre, she hates being dirty. She hates it. Like a lot.
I know. Got someone else's barf all over them, their blood, and like really probably other people's blood in there because he's a vampire.
She was like, in my head, she's prestidigitationing herself in a turn versus like cleaning or like versus actually helping. Anyway, continue.
Yes. So this has happened twice and everyone has gotten hit, I believe.
Oh yeah, it was everyone but you. Yeah,
everyone got hit but me. And so nobody is able to be healed except for me. And my health points, this is the first time that my health has stayed up. And I was like, oh, we're doing great. This isn't hard at all. And why is everyone else complaining? So what's happened is we had just killed this other character and I had just successfully killed this massive ogre.
You're welcome.
And hey.
I cast slow, bro.
You did. It did help. It did help. So we kill him and... right in front of me, I mean, it's probably like 20 feet or so, is the Duke. And everyone else is behind me doing other things. And it's my turn. And I'm thinking, okay, normally I would just go and attack the Duke. However, I have gotten yelled at in the past when I go too far ahead. So all this is going through my head. And I'm thinking, if I go and attack him, I know for a fact that his turn is before the healers. So if he barfs on me, then I'm screwed. Then everyone's screwed. And then we're all going to die. And so then I was also thinking, if everyone else dies, I can carry them all out because I'm this like half orc. And like everyone else is either teeny tiny because they're an elf or they're skeleton. So I was like, I can actually physically carry everyone probably at the same time. But if I die, nobody can carry me out. So all this is going through my head. So instead of going and attacking him, I turn to the left and I walk towards the thrall who's chained up. And I'm like, okay.
Literally doing nothing, not bothering anybody.
And I'm like, I'm just going to go up to the thrall and just stand here. And everyone's like,
I was just waiting. I was like, is there more?
And I know, you know what? And the DM is like, the thrall that has, he's not doing anything. Yeah, he's chained up. He's not attacking. Like, yeah, but I just want to wait. And John was like, what?
Which fits his character so much.
So much. Oh my gosh.
That was so funny. You know, I think you hit on an interesting point, though, or we have both of these mistakes that we've made happened when we were in our heads and like overthinking.
Yes, exactly. Because, yeah, like I started, and I think both of us starting to like think of like every possible scenario.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh my gosh, well, which one's the right one? I don't know. And then you have like the timer clicking down. The DM is like, okay, it's the moment of crisis. 3, 2, 1. You're like, this is what I'm doing.
I don't know. Sure. Even though it's a dumb idea.
I knew your character had been hit bad and I knew you were low. I had no idea that anyone else was low. I don't know if I had just like fed the baby or if I was just like, I don't know, daydreaming or thinking about my next like choice. I have no idea, but I had absolutely no idea that everyone else was that low. And it makes sense now that I know that, like, I think that's the lowest John's character has ever been to like dying.
I want him on death saves one time.
Just once. We'll get there.
Just one time, John.
That's our new goal. But it makes sense now why his character would be so upset. Because he was so incredibly low. And if they thought that I knew this and then like actively made the decision to just, well, I'm going to go over here and just, you know, talk to this thrall that's hanging out, literally. Yeah, it makes no sense. And I've literally never done it before. So yeah, I guess, like you said, it happens, mistakes happen, and lean into it, learn from it if you can. Yeah, it was definitely an out-of-body experience. And afterwards, as soon as I did it, I was like, oh.
Yeah, and you just want to rewind, right?
Yes. Like,
come back. I lied.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you're trying to like save face. So like John's character is saying all this stuff and I'm like, it's fine, you know, like, because inside I'm like, dang it.
That was the worst decision. It's hard because as you want to make, at least for me, I want to make good decisions and I want everybody to be like, so impressed with Mandy because I'm self-centered. Right.
we all are to an extent. At some point.
And it's just human nature. You're going to make a mistake. And what's fun and hard about D&D is leaning into that and figuring out, okay, how would my character respond? It's fun to see how different players react to your mistakes. There's the player reaction and then the character reaction, right?
Yes. Which I think is, there's definitely something to be said about that because yes, D&D is acting, but there is that line between like, here's your character and here's you as a human being. And there is a crossover at some point where like,
oh, for sure.
When you're playing, there's been moments, especially the last like month and a half where we've had all these very tenuous moments where I'm like, pretty sure this person's actually upset right now. But what's great about it is that as you work through them, like as your character, even if you are feeling a little bit like, as like a human being, because you're so into your character that it all works out and your character gets chill, you get chill. Hopefully, I mean, sometimes. If you don't,
it depends,
then you should probably talk to the person in real life.
That's true. Be an adult. Don't be petulant.
Yes.
Yeah. We can't all be Zink from the Dungeons and Dragons movie, right? Where we're perfect and everything's perfectly choreographed and that's just not going to happen. Like, that's why I'm trying really hard to keep the mindset of like rolling low on a, like a attack roll, for example. Yeah. It's not fun to miss and it's, sucks to waste that spell slot, but it's also just part of the story, right? Yeah. Like every now and then you're going to whiff it. Every now and then you're not going to have a 3-point landing. So go into it, lean into it, be okay with it, and make it a part of your character. Like, now there's just so much you can do. Like, this is all just a cool part of role play.
It is. That's what makes it so much fun. I love D&D.
I love D&D so much. It's the best. I love Dungeons and Dragons. It has changed my life for the better, and I'm just so happy to be able to be here and share it with everyone. Same. And on that just super happy note,
yeah,
I think that wraps things up.
Yeah.
And did you have anything else to add?
Nope.
Awesome. So whether you're on your way to work, cleaning around the house, kicking back and hanging out, or mindlessly scrolling on your phone, because we know who you are. we're so grateful you've joined us. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and any other favorite podcast app, so you can be immersed in fantasy and hear our interesting spin on D&D and how you can have that in your D&D game as well. And if you're watching on YouTube or somewhere in our social media, tell us your biggest mistakes, again, quotations, as a player, and really just make me feel better about getting Ariadne killed the first time. Or just something one of your players have done. It all makes for a great story, and that's why we're here. Mm. So leave us a comment, give us a like, and just share with us. We love reading and responding to all your comments, and we can't wait to talk to you guys again. So well met, friends, and we'll see you on the morrow.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
I love D&D.
I love D&D so much.